Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Captain Andy Robertson leading out his team, his nation.
Steve Clark, what a hero.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army. In Finnegan's Way, Miami. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are just one day away from Scotland's final group match against Brazil. Steve Clark gets set to address the media, but how will he approach the game? Motherwell's new manager speaks for the first time, and could Hearts fetch up to £10 million for Claudio Braga? I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Jim Duffy and Gordon DL.
Yeah, as you say, we're certainly gearing up to, I would probably say, and I'd hope Jim agrees with me, the biggest night in the international of Scotland's football career. Would you agree with that, Jim? First time ever to qualify. Yeah, if we just get a point, you're a real Tartan Army fan. You go to most Scotland games.
No, I think it's one of those ones, Daz, where if I just think everyone wants to approach the game is exactly what you say, with the opportunity to do something that no Scotland team has ever done before, which is to qualify for the knockout stages. So you don't want to go with a whimper. You want to give it everything you've got. So I think that's what Andrew was saying there. What kind of team he picks, you know, does he go, you know, a little bit conservative and wait until the latter stages of the game? Or does he say, well, listen, this is exactly what you're saying, a chance to make history, let's go all guns blazing.
Yeah, I think for most of the Tartan Army, especially the younger side of the Tartan Army, this is the biggest game ever for them. Of course it is. We've got a great chance of making history tomorrow night. Listen, it's got to be difficult. I totally agree with Jim. You're up against Brazil. A point does it. Listen, a 1-0 could do it. You know, there's a lot of ways we could get through, and I don't care how we do it, as long as we get there. And I think the big question is two things for me. What is the team going to be? Will he change formation? And will he be very defensive?
I could hear you counting them in your head there.
So there's the three things that I would like to ask tonight. The phone-in should be about that. What is the fans thinking? What should the team be? What should the formation be? And should we be in attacking or defending for our lives to get that valuable point tomorrow
night? Steve Clark is going to speak in the next couple of hours. I'm sure he'll be asked a lot of questions about his approach to the game, who's fit, what personnel are likely to play. But he's a man that keeps his cards close to his chest, isn't he, Jim?
All managers do that. You know, I mean, they're not going to come out and say, yeah, we're going to, you know, throw caution at the wind, we're going to go and attack at all costs and leave ourselves exposed. And that. I mean, he's going to be conservative. He's going to say all the things you would expect him to say. He's going to be organised, he's going to be disciplined, they're going to look to take their opportunities when they come their way. We'll say all the cliched things, but that's a manager. You know, there's very, very few managers that are that flamboyant that will come out with, you know, I mean, obviously, some managers have. I mean, the you know, obviously, in England playing tonight, they're saying that they're there to win the World Cup. You know, they're only there to get to the knockout stages or the latter stages. They're there to win it. So, yeah, I mean, if you've got quality players, if you believe that that's your threat, I think Pochettino said it for the States. He actually says, no, we want to try and win it. So, you know, it all depends on your approach. But I think, sorry, we're just laughing because I think
Cristiano Ronaldo has opened the scoring for Portugal against Uzbekistan.
We're just talking about it, me and Daz, before the kickoff. We're saying it's an absolute certainty to score because I can't believe he gets criticised. I just don't look at his record before somebody criticises him. He's a phenomenon, an absolute phenomenon to still be scoring goals in World Cup at 41 years of age. He's a physical specimen that is just like, honestly, he's scientific robot. He's unbelievable. He's phenomenal.
All the big centre forwards are really stepping up at this World Cup, aren't they? They're banging in goals.
He'll have known he had to score in this game. 100%. When you see what Messi, Mbappe, Haaland, Harry Kane have been doing. Yeah, he needed a goal in this
game.
Yeah,
and listen,
I'm scoring six World Cups. He scored them.
Yeah, and I agree with Jim. There was no doubt that it was going to happen. He's got too much quality. Yeah. I know he comes in for a bit of criticism because people think, oh, he's not a team player. He's an individual. He's an absolute superstar, and he shows it and he repeats it like Messi, like the rest of them. That's why they're so highly regarded.
Anyway, that is just a warm-up. One of the many warm-ups for what is the main occasion. Scotland against Brazil. There are so many layers to it as well that make it so iconic. Playing against Brazil, the most successful team in World Cup history, is a big thing anyway, no matter the circumstances. It's in Miami. It's for a chance to create history and be the first Scotland team to get through to the knockout stages of a major champ. There's just so much to it that just makes it such an iconic game.
Yeah, I know Jim goes to most of the games at Hampden and, you know, big follower of Scotland. I'm usually sitting in my chair watching the TV, I've got to be honest. But I'll tell you what, no better place to be if you're a Scot right now. Over Miami, enjoying that atmosphere.
I'd be right up your street over Miami, would it not be?
Listen, I watched the scenes come in from Boston. They were absolutely brilliant.
He thought about it. Yeah. He sat and thought about booking flights. He came close.
If I hadn't been for my hip walking about, I probably would have taken the plunge, Jim, because it's grasped me as well. I'm not that kind of guy. I like to watch it on TV. I like to support Scotland, my country and everything. But just seeing that Tartan Army and what they're achieving over there, the friends and everything. We have to do them proud tomorrow night. They did. Do you know something? See, if you're a player, you're looking and you're saying, you want to do it for yourself and your country, but you certainly want to do it for the supporters.
Well, you should. I mean, what those fans have brought to the World Cup has been, again, an amazing atmosphere. I mean, everyone is talking about it. You know, I mean, if there's we've also seen, you know, the Norwegian fans and all of the Dutch fans. There has been an unbelievable atmosphere to this World Cup, and you know, but now there's a different aspect of it. The players have got to produce it on the pitch, Andrew. You know, they've got to, as Gordon was saying there, they've got to go and say to the fans, listen, we understand what you've given us. Now, can we give you a night to remember? I mean, the winning against Haiti was, it was a brilliant result. We know it wasn't the best performance, but it was a brilliant result and it created a fantastic atmosphere up to the Morocco game. Morocco game was a little bit flat, felt, you know, because I didn't think Morocco were great. I think if we really would have played at our very best, we certainly should have got something from the game. Yeah, we know there was a couple of contentious decisions, but we left it a little bit too late to have a real go. And we fully understand the quality of Brazil. No one's underestimating it. And everybody keeps saying, yeah, they're not in Brazil of, you know, maybe the former years and that. But nevertheless, it's Brazil. They're still a fantastic footballing side with real quality. But I still feel that when Scotland play, you know, with that passion, you know, with that intensity, you know, then there's a chance. And I would just love to see that rather than sit back and then just invite Brazil to them for the full 90 minutes and keep our fingers crossed that you can get a result. Why don't we have a go? Because we've got 3 points on the board. You know, regarding, I mean, with other results might fall in my favour anyway, but if you've got an opportunity to qualify through your own performance, then surely that's the best one you want.
Right, 0141 951 1025. This is your final chance to let us know your thoughts ahead of the Brazil game. How are you feeling? Are you confident? Do you think Scotland can just get the result tomorrow that sees us through instead of having to play the waiting game in the next few days? Who should Steve Clarke play? Who shouldn't he play? What should the system be like? And how should he approach the match? 0141 951 1025 on the phones. And all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're giving away Summer Sizzler tickets to Ayr Racecourse. They're hosting the Family Sunday Race Day on Sunday, the 5th of July, and the Glasgow Fair Family Race Day on Monday, the 20th of July. You'll get a family pass for two adults and two children, plus drinks and snacks in the cafe. Each day includes 7 races plus live shows and family entertainment, including the likes of a mascot race, there's fairground rides, children entertainers, a lot more. And we'll pick a winner at random from every show of someone that gets on air, and then you can pick a date of your choice. It's over 18s only. Full T's and C's are on our website, so for your chance to head along to Ayr Racecourse in July, give us a call 0141 951 1025 right now. Let's speak to Brendan, who is in Pollock. Brendan, what does Scotland need to do tomorrow night to get that result to see us through?
See, tomorrow night, what the players need to do is go and look at the history of Scottish people. We are born warriors. Now, there's a wee town not too far away from Gordon, right, to look. It's got three VC winners in it. Now, the highest military honour you can ever get for heroism, right? And then how the special forces across the world were created was the Scottish people. A guy went to a Scottish, Stirling, went to a Scottish battalion and says, look, I need guys to jump out a plane and land in between enemy lines. Now, 5 guys put the horn up and says, aye, I'll do it. Right? And then he was like, to the commander, why is there only 5? And then he explained to them, no, you're getting a parachute and you'll land in. And then the whole battalion, I just showed you there's 5 Scottish guys willing to jump out a plane without a parachute. And they thought, they just need to grab that warrior, that inner Scottish warrior, come back to the test of time and bring it and go, right, I'll run that extra 5 yards for that boy because he'll run that extra 5 yards for me, and leave everything out there. Don't leave nothing behind and just look there for what Scottish people are.
Brendan, can I say something to you? Yeah. I think you should get on a plane, go to Miami and be in that dressing room waiting for those Scottish players.
I was going to say we should clip this up, put some bagpipes behind it, play it out into the changing room before the game. Is that all the motivation the players need?
Do you know something? If Brendan was in that dressing room giving that speech, I would run out in the park without my strip, never mind a parachute.
Your dodgy hip.
Yeah, and with my dodgy hip, Jim, and give it my best whack. That's a fantastic speech.
Just shows the passion that people have for the national team, Jim.
I think that's what the World Cup has brought, and I think that's why we've missed it so much, because it's been so long, you know, for fans, you know, when everyone else was celebrating or watching their countries perform in the World Cup over the last 28 years, except for the Scotland fans, and everyone was knew what they brought to, you know, the tournament. So, like Brendan's saying there, they bring that passion, they bring that spirit, but the players, the fans are doing that in their droves, and they've been magnificent. I mean, I'm sure that the Scottish Tourist Board are absolutely thrilled, because the Americans will be booking up to all coming over here for holidays and breaks. But in terms of the pitch, we have to turn up against Brazil. We have to get a lot of things right. Of course we do, without the ball, and understand that, because we made a very basic error in the early part of the game against Morocco. You can't afford to have any lapses of concentration against Brazil, or we will get punished. But and the footballing side, yeah, you have to have that passion, you have to have that desire, and you know, as Brendan would say there, have that, yeah, play with your heart and your sleeve, but you have to be controlled on a football pitch. You know, this is a different aspect from some of the things that Brendan's talking about. You have to have calmness, you have to have, you know, composure in the situations. But the message that you're saying there is you know, give it everything you've got, don't leave anything on the pitch, and I fully agree with that.
Could you imagine that? Our back 5 was the guys Brendan was talking about there, and the Brazilian manager saying, by the way, you're playing against a back 5 that were prepared to jump out of a plane without parachutes. They wouldn't get near us. We'd have a clean sheet, wouldn't we, Jim? A clean sheet.
You did a skydive, didn't you, for cash for
kids?
Yeah,
let me tell you, I was never jumping out without a parachute. That's for sure. I was not one of those names in Kirluk.
Brendan, you're feeling passionate. Can we do it? Are we going to do it tomorrow?
See if we just leave every bit out in that pitch. Like, if the players are flat, like absolutely flat on their feet, come that final whistle, like they're all fell down, they need the physios to come on and pick them up off the deck, then if they get that, they've got that inner will and belief and desire for it, not just to do it for themselves, to do it for a collective 26 players that are there, the collective of the whole Tartan Army. It's went and travelled to America, spent their life savings, done everything, if they just harness the whole feeling and a nation behind them, then aye, they'll do it. And Brazil need to remember who introduced Brazil to football. It was a guy, Fico Bride. So they kind of need to give a wee buy in that, because we made them the best football nation.
Excuse me, we introduced you to football, so could you
give a wee buy? So by the way, once Brendan's done in the Scotland changing room, we'll send him into the Brazil changing room and say, remember where you came from, right? Remember where football came from in your country.
The Scots next door introduced you to this wonderful game.
And the thing is, you know, Brendan's talking about that effort, leaving it all out there. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, no matter what happens tomorrow, as long as the players go out there and, you know, try and execute the game plan as best as they possibly can, put in maximum effort, they'll get appreciated by the nation no matter what.
I think the performance is the number one thing that all fans want when you go to these tournaments. Yeah, the results we know from a coaching perspective, Steve Clarke, you know, the coaching team and the players themselves, they know results. It wasn't the greatest performance against Haiti, but you get a result. But when it comes to games against Brazil, what you don't want to be, you don't want to be insipid. You don't want to be fearful. You know, you've got to go out there without fear and give it everything you've got to get that result. And if you do that and you fall a hair's breadth short, then I think then that the fans think, okay, they will cheer you off that pitch because you've shown that you went there, you approached the game properly. And say we might get a little bit of a break depending on the results, but I think you've got to be given it everything, and as Brendan says, leave nothing on
it's the only thing you can guarantee, Jim. You can't guarantee you're going to win the match. You can't guarantee as a player you're going to play particularly well. You can't guarantee that, but you can guarantee one thing: you're going to run until you drop. You're going to give every single thing you've got, every effort to achieve what they're trying to achieve for the supporters. And not just in this country, of course, but they've made many hundreds of thousands of miles and spent so much money. It's incredible, and made so many friends. They deserve it. And I'm sure that the Scotland boys, listen, Steve Clarke won't need to tell them that. They'll know that 100%.
Brendan, in terms of personnel, is there anyone for you that has to start?
I would see like the back three. I know he reverted back to like the back three and the two wing backs, right? But see against Morocco, see that first half, we were so passive, it was unreal, right? I don't think we should come out like that. I reckon we should go where, like, put John McGinn and Scott McTominay in the middle, get Ben Gannon Dope out in the wing, and then go with a back four. And go a 4-4-2 and just go for them. Just go for the juggler. See what Morocco done with us. See if we nick a goal early, then I revert back to tight, like, as William Wallace said, hold.
Remember all the players are wearing wood. They're out there with their faces painted. Oh, Brendan, it's a football match. I think we just need to just to take a wee bit of a breath and say, listen,
I'm loving this.
By the way, imagine how hyped up Brendan's going to be by kickoff tomorrow. Kick-off, this is him way more than 24 hours before the game.
He'll live the war,
somebody will be delivering his pizza and we'll be having a corner. Hold. Wait a minute.
Could you imagine having the touchline? We're doing a William Wallace. Hold.
Right, thank you to William Wallace on the line, Brendan, who's been giving us the full build-up, hasn't he? So we're nice and ready for tomorrow. Maybe you want to talk tactics, maybe you want to talk approach to the game. 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you next.
Welcome back to That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing. And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing. Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in Finnegan's Way, Miami. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Of course, we are building up to the massive game against Scotland, between Scotland and Brazil, I should say, tomorrow night. So get your thoughts in on that. 0141 951 1025. We had that rousing speech from Brendan on the line beforehand. He was getting everyone hyped up for the game. He was talking about soldiers and parachutes. It turns out that is an urban myth, and it's about the Gurkhas and not Scottish soldiers. But why let it get in the way of a good motivational speech? Let's not tell the Scotland players that when we send Brendan into the changing room tomorrow.
Yeah, I loved that. If he's in that dressing room, the Scottish players wouldn't have known that. Keep it going, Brendan.
The passion was pouring out his body, and you can understand that. And that's what the game and the tournament has done for the Scotland supporters, and for even people who don't normally bother about football. We're talking about watching it, or the excitement. It's all part of it. All the bars, the restaurants, all these things, all the businesses that have been struggling over the last couple of years are getting a mega turn, which is brilliant. So, let's hope we can keep it going for another couple of games.
Right, let's cross live to Miami, shall we? Because Gabriel Antoniazzi is poised to speak to Steve Clark in the coming minutes. So what's on the agenda, Gabriel?
Yeah, Andrew, good afternoon from this magnificent stadium behind me here, the home of the Miami Dolphins in the north of the city. As you said, we're going to be speaking to Steve Clark in about 1 hour's time. The media centre just about to open. And we're going to hear from him and a player, usually Captain Andy Robertson. What's going to be on the agenda? Well, it's going to be the fitness concerns will probably be top of the bill. They did train this morning. The whole squad trained. However, Aaron Hickey trained individually with the sports science and the fitness people by himself. We know Hickey missed that game, the 1-0 defeat against Morocco last week, with an injury. But we're going to hear from Steve Clark. Will Hickey be available? Will everyone else be available? We'll find out very shortly. As I said, they trained at Inter Miami Stadium, not far away from here this morning. The team flew in from their base camp in Charlotte last night, and full focus is going to be on Brazil. I'm sure that Clark will get asked questions about the permutations and everything. Obviously, everyone back home has been trying to work out what happens if we do X, Y, and Z. Can we go through? Who and where will we be playing? So I expect Clark to brush that off. You know what he's like. But also the weather might be a topic of contention. I don't know if you can see, it is very grey behind me. It's extremely hot, extremely clammy, and there is some lightning dropping around the area. It's not actually raining at the moment. It has been raining for the past hour, and everyone saw what happened in the France match yesterday. A big delay. There are due to be thunderstorms tomorrow. We don't know exactly when, but in Miami there are due to be thunderstorms. So Clark will no doubt be asked, what are the plans? Are the plans in place? Are the players prepared if they have to go back into the changing room for an hour or two? Everyone will remember what happened 3 years ago against Georgia at Hampden. That was in June as well, when it was about a 2-hour delay due to the rain. So maybe there is a protocol in place from Scotland. But I'll let you know as soon as we hear from Clark what he's got to say.
Gordon, dear, we could be in for one of the longest nights of our life, because as Gabriel said, we saw what happened in the France game. I think if lightning strikes within 8 miles of the stadium, then the game is essentially suspended. And then for every lightning strike within 8 miles of the stadium, it then resets to another 30-minute suspension of the game. So we might have a lot of time to fill tomorrow night.
I'm taking a change of clothes and a toilet bag with my toothbrush, because it could be a long, long night. But I don't care if it's worth it. If it's worth it, Andrew, then we're prepared to stick it out. It was incredible, the France game. I fell asleep, and then I woke up at 1 o'clock in the game. I'm looking at a TV and I'm thinking, hold on a minute, this game's the longest game I've ever seen, because it started at 11 o'clock. But listen, that's what happens in America. They're used to it. And as Jim says, it's a half an hour delay and then it kicks on, and all of a sudden you could be sitting in that dressing room for up to nearly 2 hours. It's not great preparation, obviously, especially if you're doing very well, Jim. The last thing you want to do, they're talking about the hydration breaks being a bit of a pain there. That's only 2 or 3 minutes. What's it going to be if you're a player sitting in the dressing room obviously for over an hour or so? But listen, that's just the World Cup, that's America, and you've just got to deal with it.
Just before we let you go, Gabriel, how's the general atmosphere around Miami? What have the Scotland fans been like since making their way down from Boston or over from Scotland?
Well, we spoke yesterday when we were at Finnegan's Way on Ocean Drive. The atmosphere was unbelievable. It's just continued since then. I was at the Miami Marlins game against the Texas Rangers last night, and that was something else. I know Fenway Park was brilliant for the Red Sox game. This was just as good. There was a march from Little Havana in the city centre, all the way to the stadium. And then you had a Scotland fan zone just on the inside of the arena before you go into the venue, just playing Scotland songs for about 45 minutes. It was fantastic. Again, all the locals fully embracing it, totally loving it. I think there were a few sore heads again this morning, but there is a march on Ocean Drive, which will start in about half an hour's time. They're meeting, I think it is on 14th Street, so that's just outside the pub where we're based at Finnegan's Way. They're going to march all the way down past all the famous Art Deco houses, buildings, hotels, and end just at the front before who knows what happens tonight. Our very own Clyde One, George and Cassie are over here as well. One's got a boat party, one's got a DJ night as well. So Clyde One, well represented down here in Miami. I think it'll be a special, special evening, and then full focus will be on the game tomorrow against Brazil, which is at 6 o'clock local time. But as you know, back home, that's 11 p.m. in Scotland.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Gabriel. We'll let him head off to the press room ahead of speaking to Steve Clark and a Scotland player. While he was speaking, Uzbekistan actually scored. They made it 2-1, but that has been ruled out for a foul.
It was a phenomenal goal. It was an unbelievable goal. He's caught it for about 20-odd yards right in the top corner. But there was a free kick leading up to the break of the ball, and the referee, after a VAR intervention, and decided there was a free kick to Portugal, and you know, they cancelled the goal. So Uzbekistan, unfortunately, didn't get a chance to celebrate.
Gabriel has come under a bit of stick for what he's been wearing on the show over the last couple of weeks. He had an Atletico Madrid top that he'd had tailored into a vest that he was wearing on the show last night. Plain white t-shirt today, absolutely fine. Although someone has pointed out to me, Gordon DL, that you look as if you are wearing a Primark staff uniform with the colour scheme of that t-shirt.
Is that Primark?
I mean, it looks like a Primark staff t-shirt.
Listen, I'm proud to say I can buy some of my t-shirts in Primark.
Aye, you shouldn't buy the staff t-shirts.
But hold on a minute. See the Under Armour badge. Is that not giving it away?
It's the colour scheme. That's the issue. Yeah.
I've got my shorts and that on as well.
I'm sure you're
looking at it. I don't think we need to see that.
Watch your hips.
I'm just out the gym. I'm obviously trying to get back into fitness. I've missed Miami because of my fitness situation. I'm trying to get back there.
In case Scotland get through to the next round and you're fit to go to Boston.
I'm right over there, back to Boston. So I make no excuses for the way I've turned up. Listen, I'll tell you what, people out there are very fickle, aren't they, Jim? You know what I mean? Yeah,
but you're a celebrity, so therefore
I've got a night shift in Primark after us.
Yeah, a fashionista, and people might follow what you wear and think, then I'll maybe try and get it somewhere. But Gabriel's, you know, obviously Miami, he's talking about the possibility of the weather. Anybody who's been in Florida at this time of the year knows that, you know, there are lots of storms you get. You know, the downpours can be, you know, quite you know, electric in terms of the lightning coming down. So I think that there's obviously the possibility of that, and players will probably have to, as part of the preparation, because we're talking about what did the French players and that do last night for 2 hours. You know, how do you keep yourself going? Do you just switch off and relax and wait on the shout 15 minutes to go and then start again, or do you keep yourself, because you never know within that, as you said, Andrew, because of the half hour periods, you're thinking, right, okay, is it this half hour? So we'll go out and have a wee, you know, like in the dress room. Do we do a wee, you know, loosen up, or do we just sit and wait? Yeah, and so there's all that kind of mental preparation as well. So hopefully that's not the case. But if it does, we hope it maybe breaks up the rhythm with the Brazilians, and we can deal with it a wee bit better, hopefully.
Let's speak to Simon, who's in Hindland. Simon, how are you?
Yeah, guys, how are you doing? I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thank you.
How's our bank account, Simon?
Oh, do I talk about it? God.
Come on, cheer me up.
For those that Somebody
worse off than me.
Simon's recently back from Boston, and is paying the price, I think, like a lot of Scotland supporters. But it was worth it, Simon.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say, if Gavs is still listening, as somebody who has a moustache and likes a vest as well, I think he looks amazing. So keep it up, Gavs. Don't let them get you done.
Not done, Simon.
I think the last few days, I was listening to the show on Saturday, and Andrew, you did an amazing job of trying to keep Hugh positive. I felt your pain trying to accentuate the positives that we had actually won a game, and we'd only lost 1-0 to Morocco. I think, I don't know if Scotland are the only country in the world where they lose a game to a team 35 places above them in the rankings, and everyone, you know, collectively seems to lose their mind. I think it was a it might prove to be a really decent point. But yeah, I just feel like the negativity. He had the guy phone in last night, guy for Falkirk, who was complaining because Steve Clarke isn't more like Ange Postecoglou. And I think we're just going a bit crazy. You know, Steve Clarke's got us to three tournaments, got us to the World Cup, won a game at the World Cup. We're 90 minutes away potentially from qualifying for the next stage. I think there's so much to be positive about. I don't think, you know, Steve got the team selection wrong, I think, in certain areas against Morocco. But he's also allowed to make mistakes. I feel like sometimes we pretend that managers and coaches and players aren't allowed to make mistakes every so often. If Steve Clarke was perfect in everything he did, he wouldn't be the Scotland manager. So it's a case of, I think we need to give him a little bit of leeway, give him a little bit less stick than he's been getting. I think some of it's been over the top. I think the Kieran Tierney decision was wrong, but he'll be the first to hold his hands up, you know, and admit he probably got that one wrong. But the way he changed the game, you know, we were the better team in the second half, going into the end of the game against a team much higher ranked than us. So yeah, I think it's been a bit over the top, and I just ask everybody to maybe just calm down a little bit.
Yeah, Jim, it's totally fine for people to come on and say that, you know, they don't find the style of play attractive, or Steve Clarke maybe played the wrong player or played the wrong formation, and that, you know, they don't find it exciting and they'd like Steve Clarke to be more expansive in his play. But at the same time, you still need to appreciate that Steve Clarke is the manager that has got Scotland now to three major tournaments when we hadn't been to one for such a long time. We have won one out of our two World Cup matches so far. We're in a strong position to get through to the knockout stages for the first time of a major tournament ever. So there's certainly got to be some balance there. And it's totally fine for people to criticise and pick holes and say that there's things they don't like. But on the other hand, you've got to realise that we're also still in a very good position to get to where we want to be and where we've never been before.
Football is passionate, and fans get passionate, and they react to that. You know, it's a reactive sport. You know, people do it instantly now. They do it on social media. You know, they make comments on it. You know, managers are judged sometimes not by their tactical knowledge, but by their personality. You know, people, as I said before, they want Kevin Bridges doing interviews. You know, they don't want somebody, a guy that comes out with cliched answers. You know, oh, he should be smiling more, he should have a better personality, all these type of things. That's just that people want the, you know, the whole package. They want everything perfect. And after the game, again, it's a little bit easier to say, right, we should have played this person or that person or this shape. I mean, I actually thought he would play Tierney, and I thought he should play Tierney. The only one I would have thought, and again, it would be a contentious decision, because I thought he might have brought Kenny McLean in just to give us a little bit more.
I suppose it was how he played Tierney was the interesting point. The fact he played him as a left midfielder rather than playing him as a sort of left centre-back of a three.
Maybe the area, the pitch and stuff like that, but he's looking to maybe just push in and toppy people and then drop in. And they've obviously worked at that. It didn't quite work. But you know, the Morocco, as Simon said, there are, you know, should be a team that's ahead of Scotland in a lot of aspects. But you know, as the game wore on, Scotland grew into the game. This game here that we've all agreed is a game where we need to try and get something from it. We need to try and get something from it. So where the summer situation in the Euros, the last game, and we just didn't give it a go. So regardless of what someone thinks should be the team, regardless of what someone's, the shape we should be playing, I think what we want to be doing here is we're not leaving Excel exposed. I think we should play three in midfield, whether he plays, you know, 5-3-2, or whether he plays 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, if you want to call it that. But I think we need to have an extra player in the middle of the pitch. But that's my opinion. But I still want us to have a go within reason, but just don't go out with a whimper.
And Simon, it is a results-driven business, and if Scotland go out and people aren't happy with the performances and don't make it to the knockout stage, then the noise will be a bit louder. But do you feel if Scotland get through to the knockout stage, create history, you know, in the fullness of time, people won't really concentrate too much on how it happened, how many goals we scored, what the performances were like? It's about the fact that we've done something that we've never done before.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there'll be some people who, even if they get through, they'll just say, oh, we only won one game, you know, or we only scored that goal against Haiti. If we got a 0-0 tomorrow, people will be still saying that. That's just the nature of football. I think on the team selection, I've heard a lot of people say that they want Lauren Shankland to start. Now, this might be a bit controversial, but I don't think he should be anywhere near the starting 11. Now, people say, I think we watched against Haiti. I think you saw he doesn't have the athleticism. He doesn't have the pace either to play at the really top level. Now, I think there's probably a reason he's a very good Scottish Premiership level goal scorer. I'll not take that away from him, couldn't possibly take that away from him. He's got a move to Rangers, which is obviously a very big club. But I think there's probably a reason why that's going to be the highlight of his career, the top level he's going to ever play at. Whereas people always say, if you want a goal, you should be playing Lauren Shankland. He's the one who will score a goal. My argument would be, if you put Shea Adams in the Scottish Premiership, let's just say you put him in a Celtic top and put Lauren Shankland in a Rangers top, Shea Adams outscores Lauren Shankland for me. He's played at a much, much higher level. If you put Lauren Shankland in Serie A, I don't think he'll be able to perform at that level. So I think we've seen with the athleticism, or the lack of athleticism against Haiti, I think we need to play with somebody who's going to be more aggressive. Shankland's decent link-up play. I know that's going to be the argument, but I feel we need to be more aggressive on the front foot. Can you imagine, I mean, Shankland, for all due respect to him, going up against guys like Gabriel, I mean, Marquinhos, they'll eat him alive.
I don't think they'll be losing sleep over any of the Scotland strikers, Simon, but I do totally disagree with you regarding Lauren Shankland. Strikers thrive on, I mean, I've got one sitting next to me, a striker, they thrive on service. And in the Haiti game, although Scotland didn't play better in the Morocco game, Shea Adams played, but we need service, we need to get balls into the box, we need to, you know, take more risks in the final third, all of these things to give an opportunity to strike. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, we're lucky tonight, we're watching the Portuguese game. Ronaldo was getting absolute dog's abuse for his performance in the first game. Never put any balls in the box, never gave him a threat.
And he scored a few moments ago.
He scored two tonight already, you know what I mean? So, yeah, listen, he's world class. I'm not comparing Lauren Shankland. The comparison I'm making is, if you put balls into the box, you don't need to be a runner. You don't need to be electric quick. You need to have instinct and you need to be
Shea
calm
Adams
under
come
pressure.
Up against a better level of defender on a week to week basis, then being in Serie A, does that help him then going into a higher standard of game? Or do you not
possibly,
think it makes a difference?
I don't think you can say for many years Lauren Shankland's been a top class player, and he's had to work hard to earn his move to Rangers, and most Rangers fans would have liked it done 2 or 3 years ago. And he's had dips in his career and he's had to work really, really hard. I'm not saying Lawrence is world class by any stretch of my mind, that's what I'm saying, but I'm if I compare him with all the Scottish strikers who are available just now, I think we always look at negatives. But he doesn't run this, or he doesn't do this. But he scores goals, he holds a play up, he's two-footed, he's a really instinctive penalty box striker. But we need to get supply. Give him an opportunity and then see if he's capable of taking him.
Look, I don't really care who he plays tomorrow night, as long as he plays the right one for me and we can get a goal. But if you look at Shea Adams so far in this tournament, he's made one good run, held the ball up, and we get the goal off it. That's it. He's not really offered. Yeah, I don't look at him and think he must start tomorrow night. If he plays Shankland, I agree with Jim. I think Shankland is a very, very clever player, good player. He can hold the ball up. He's an intelligent player. When the ball comes in the box, he can score goals. Listen, if he could even go for a dice tomorrow night, just it's how he sees the Brazil game going and the best players to fit into the situation and this the system that he's going to play in the style of football he's got to play. I'm crying out for Ben Gannon-Dolk to play tomorrow night. I think we need a ball carrier, and I think he's our best ball carrier. Look, Steve Clark might look and think, no, I'm going to go with two wing-backs, I'm going to go three at the back, I'm going to play the three in the middle of the part that Jim's talking about and play one off a striker. He might just change it up, I don't know, but as long as we go out there and give the best account of ourselves. But I think we have got good strikers.
Thank you to Simon, 01419511025 on the phones. Get your calls in and I'll tell you this.
Goal! Just absolutely magnificent.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. It was Don who was our latest winner on Friday, and he can now enjoy three quarters. Sorry, Dave. I don't know why I said Don there, just reading the wrong name. But it was Dave who was the winner on Make Me a Winner and won £750,000. Will you be the next big summer winner this weekend? We go again with a whopping £750,000 to give away. Get your place in the draw now, and that cash could be in your bank account on Friday. To enter, text YES to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday, and someone will win the lot. All you need to do is just answer your phone, and £750,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in Finnegan's Way, Miami. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we are appreciative of the fact that Gordon DL has come straight from his shift at Primark to come and do the show. I don't even know if you'd know what we're talking about, Gordon, but this, yeah, we've put it on the screen now. Like, it is uncanny, the t-shirt you are wearing. That is incredible. Well,
let me say, I'll probably get paid more at
if you're watching the live stream, like, then you'll be able to see it. If not,
Primark's getting plenty of free advertising.
I can tell you, it's the sort of light blue t-shirt, but the sleeves are navy. I mean, it is uncanny. Like, you, now that you can see it on screen.
Who's flagged that up? One of those in there? Because I'll gun.
I couldn't possibly tell you.
I'll
who's
have a
pointed
few strong words with them in that other room, by the way. Because have you seen the way they're dressed? And they're slaughtering my Primark outfit. By the way, do Primark have blue sort of a trousers as well to go with the uniform?
I don't know, actually.
Because I'm in blue. I could walk right in there. I could fit right in there.
You'd be getting asked if they've got certain stuff in stock. You'd be getting stopped all over the place if you went in there right now. Anyway.
Stock taken.
Happy with that. That's good.
Other clothes shops are available. Yes, that is brilliant. Right, anyway, let's get back to the serious stuff. Rhys is in Dunfermline. Rhys, how's it going?
Oh, Rhys is gone.
We got you, Rhys.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good stuff. We've got you now. Yes, we are all good. Thank you. What are you thinking ahead of the game tomorrow? Okay? Yes, got you, Rhys. What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow?
Hello?
Oh, Rhys.
Rhys?
Yeah. I think Steve Clark's got the tactics spot on. Yep, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yep.
Hello?
Right, I'll let the producers try and clear up that line. It seemed like there was quite a delay in there. I mean, the first thing that Rhys said was he thinks that Steve Clark's got his tactics spot on. I've heard a lot of people say the opposite of that, Jim. Mm-hmm. I suppose it just depends on... I mean, the obvious thing to point out is that Scotland conceded within 71 seconds against Morocco. So at that point, it's maybe quite easy to point that out and say that he maybe didn't have it spot on at the start of that, but then Scotland go the rest of the game and manage to not concede, but then Scotland maybe aren't creating as many chances as we would like them to.
That's not down to tactics. That's down to a player making a poor decision. Mm-hmm. Grant Hanley should have went with the runner. He sees him. It's not as if there's gaps there. You know, he's looking at the player, sees him moving, he's a yard behind him. He should just say, right, I'll match, especially early on in the game. You don't take any risks. So that's just an error. That's not a tactical error. That's just a player making a poor decision. And it happened to be early in the match, and the boy had a phenomenal finish at the end of it. And then after that, be fair to Grant Hanley, I thought he actually defended very well, because a lot of players could have folded with the spotlight on them, you know, could have crumbled under the pressure, but he didn't. And he did show his experience and how to handle the situation. So fair play to him from that. Another 90 odd minutes where he handled the game pretty well. But Rhys, like the opposite of Simon there, you know, that's football. You know, this is what's the reason why this programme is so popular, is because opinion changes by the minute. You know, one caller thinks that the manager gets it right, one caller thinks he gets it wrong. Tactics, everyone has their opinion on it. The bottom line for tomorrow night, and Gordon has said it a few times, is I think everybody just wants to see us really giving everything we've got, you know, and not just sitting back and absorbing pressure and clinging on with our fingernails, hoping that we can manage to scrape a point. I think that we know that Brazil are miles ahead of us in the rankings. We know that individually they've got some extraordinary players, talented players. But if we can manage to go and take the game to them and, you know, be positive, be organised, of course we are. I think that's the Tartan Army want to see. You're talking about motivation. The only motivation they need to do is look at some of the social media clips for all the Tartan Army in Boston and in Miami. If that doesn't inspire you, nothing would.
Let's speak to Jamie very quickly, who's on the line. Jamie, how are you feeling about tomorrow?
No bad. I'm just, thanks for taking my call, by the way. I'm thinking tomorrow, if we go with a 4-5-1, I'm thinking we need to get Gannon Doak on the park. I think he's your out ball with Dykes up top to not get the flick on. I've got a feeling, right, that if we're doing all right defensively, there's a chance in the midfield, because I don't think they've got legs anymore. I think their legs have gone. I think that if we get Lennon Miller and Christie in the middle of the park, they can be our out ball to try and get the ball forward in the counter attack. What does the panel
say? You say Lennon Miller, Jamie? Yeah, he's not in the squad.
Sorry.
Kenny McLean.
Lewis Ferguson, right.
Yeah. That's what the opinion of Brazil just now.
I don't like us luring everyone into a false sense of security here, because, you know, Jamie's talking about, you know, they maybe don't have the legs. People said that about Casemiro maybe about a year ago, but actually had a decent season for Manchester United.
They've got
Bruno Guimaraes, who has been brilliant for Newcastle. You've got Lucas Paqueta, who would still be playing in the Premier League, but there's a lot of complications there. They're a very good player. They have a lot of good footballers.
I don't think you can argue they've got a lot of good footballers,
But we have a lot of good footballers as well.
I was going to say that. I think we underplay our card a little bit, because we have got players that, and it's well documented, playing top leagues and win European trophies and whatever it may be. And look, Brazil's Brazil. They have got fantastic players. As a team, I don't think they're a fantastic team. I watched Morocco in the opening 15 minutes against them and really put them under. I've never seen a Brazilian team give the ball away as much in all my life. And it was just unforced. It was cheap stuff, slack play, everything. Now, look, the one thing they've got is they've got one of the best managers ever, isn't they? Let's not be kidded there. They've got match winners. There's no doubt about that. It'll be interesting to see how we set up tomorrow. The possibility that we're just got to go out here and Brazil have got to run all over the top of us, I don't think that's got to be the case. I think we've got to play our strength. I think we've got every decision right in the right. Jim spoke about it there, and he's 100% spot on. Sometimes you can have all the tactics in the world, but tactics, Grant Hanley wasn't any day with tactics. It was an individual decision making that he got wrong that we get punished with. And that's where we've got to get it right in certain areas tomorrow night.
Well, thank you to Jamie. Hopefully we don't need to clip up the fact that you said you don't think Brazil are a great team after the result tomorrow. I think
Brazil have got brilliant individuals.
Not in comparison
players.
To the previous teams. Yeah. Yes. I think that's what Gordon said. Okay, you know, in comparison to some of the great Brazilian teams, they're not quite the same level.
Maybe not as good as the sum of their parts. Is that what you're?
Yeah, but they do have a brilliant manager, and they still have some excellent players. But you know, they maybe don't have that. You know, the superstars. I mean, Rafinha might come off with a hamstring, you would think, but Neymar could be back again. It could be taught whether is Neymar still the same player and all these sort of things. But as I said, when you question top players, then invariably they come back to prove everybody wrong, like Ronaldo tonight. So I think we disregard some of those players that were peril. I just want us to play. We can't really affect what level of quality Brazil have. All we can do is give our maximum. Give everybody their maximum to get a result. And that's really what I think we want to see. We just don't want to see us parting the bus.
Well, why don't we play one final big game before Scotland against Brazil?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on either Gordon DL or Jim Duffy at Beat the Pundit. Ring 0141 951 1025 before 7 o'clock and you can be up next.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in Finnegan's Way, Miami. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still one more hour of your calls to come, so get them in. 0141 951 1025. This is the final chance you will get to build up to the Scotland-Brazil game, so you can let us know your thoughts. What should Steve Clarke do with the team, whether that's tactically, whether it's personnel? How are you feeling? Are you feeling good about it? Are you a bit apprehensive? Do you think Scotland can create history? Are we going to do it on the night? Are we going to have to wait and see what happens across the weekend? Let us know your thoughts. We'll maybe look at some of the
domestic matters a bit later on in the show. Motherwell's new manager, Alfred Johansson, has spoken for the first time today. Stories doing the rounds that Hearts are looking for somewhere between 8 and 10 million for Claudio Braga. So do you think they're capable of getting that? Get your calls in and we will play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's going to be Stuart in Kirkcaldy. Stuart, have you played before?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
How did you get on?
I beat Killian Sheridan on a tiebreaker.
Yeah. All right, okay, must have been quite recent then. So Stuart is back to try and beat either Gordon Dalziel or Jim Duffy. Who would you rather face?
Gordon Dalziel. I missed him the last time, so...
Oh, you missed me, did you? All right, okay. Aye, calm down, sir. I know the Kirkcaldy language, the lingo. Aye.
You still get your statue up there?
Aye, how's my statue looking, by the way? All right.
It's Lomond D. Moss in a couple of decades, so you need to come back and get it sorted.
Don't worry, mate, I'm up there.
You can stop on your way to, I'm not sure it's quite on the way, but you can stop on your way to Fraserburgh, yeah, that you've recently accepted to do a gig up there and then not realised actually how far away it is.
I didn't know how far it was, but I'm looking forward to that long, long, long journey.
You sound as if you're looking forward to it.
I can't wait to go up there and share the...
Love the golf courses up there.
I'm not playing golf, Jim. I'm just going to Fraserburgh v Aberdeen, Scott Barber's testimonial, looking forward to meeting him. And his lovely family, so delighted to.
And you definitely knew how far away it was before you accepted that you were going to go.
No.
No idea. You had no idea where any of these places are.
No, I can safely say I don't know.
You're looking forward to it nonetheless. Surely. Tell your face.
It's an adventure.
Right. Anyway, let's get on with Beat the Pundit. It's going to be the blue side of the coin for Jim Duffy, it'll be the red side of the coin for Gordon Dalziel. And it is the red side of the coin for Gordon Dalziel, so it's going to be Stuart, the Raith Rovers fan, against Gordon Dalziel, the Raith Rovers legend. So let's put something else in the ear of Gordon Dalziel so he cannot tear us. For you, Stuart, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yep.
Right, let's go for it. Who did Celtic face in the men's 2026 Scottish Cup final?
Pass.
Scott McKenna plays for a team in which country?
Saudi Arabia.
Since Rangers returned to the top flight in 2016, has there been more permanent Rangers managers or British Prime Ministers?
Rangers managers.
Name any country Scotland will face in the Nations League.
North Macedonia.
Who is the World Cup's all-time top goalscorer?
Lionel Messi.
Right, we will bring Gordon Dalziel back in. Gordon, we got
that was
you.
Quick.
You say that every time.
There's a few dodgy questions there.
Ready?
A couple, just a couple. The rest
we'll
of them you'll
see. We'll see how you get on with them. Right, okay. 30 seconds on the clock for Gordon Dalziel. Let's go. Who did Celtic face in the men's 2026 Scottish Cup final?
Dunfermline.
Scott McKenna plays for a team in which country?
Pass.
Since Rangers returned to the top flight in 2016, has there been more permanent Rangers managers or British Prime Ministers?
Rangers managers.
Name any country Scotland will face in the Nations League.
Denmark, no idea.
Who is the World Cup's all-time top goalscorer?
Messi.
Kenny McLean joined Norwich from which club?
I'm going to say Aberdeen.
How do you think it went, Stuart?
Not too bad. I'm blaming the caffeine overdose because I'm drunk. Currently driving down the I-95 towards Miami now. So,
oh, brilliant! We'll get into that a bit later with Stuart about his journey there. Hey, but let's go through the Beat the Pundit answers. First of all, who did Celtic face in the men's 2026 Scottish Cup final? It was an early panic from Stuart. He passed on
I
that
nearly
question.
Panicked as well.
Yeah, it took you a while, but you eventually said Dunfermline. So it goes 1-0 to Gordon Dalziel. Scott McKenna plays for a team in which country? I thought this would have been relatively straightforward for the two of you. Neither of you got it. Croatia plays for Dinamo Zagreb. So it remains 1-0 to Gordon Dalziel. Since Rangers returned to the top flight in 2016, has there been more permanent Rangers managers or British Prime Ministers? It's topical.
Who comes up with these questions? Because the Prime Minister resigned.
Yeah, and there's been a new Rangers manager this summer, so it's all happening.
It's all connected.
There have been 6 Prime Ministers.
Oh.
And 9 Rangers managers. You both got it, so it's 2-1 to Gordon Dalziel. Name any country Scotland will face in the Nations League. I think this is tough because the Nations League has completely gone out of our heads because we're so focused on the World Cup. You could have had Slovenia, you could have had Switzerland, you could have had North Macedonia. Stuart did have North Macedonia. That is a brilliant answer from him. So it goes to all. Who is the World Cup's all-time top goal scorer? Nice and easy one. You both got it. Lionel Messi. Gordon DL got one more question in than Stuart. Kenny McLean joined Norwich from which club? You thought about it. You went Aberdeen. Aberdeen's the correct answer. It is a 4-3.
Go on, Stuartie boy. How'd you like those apples? Not want to play me next time, will you?
Hey. No, I'll jump back on.
Ah, thank you. That was a good game, I've got to say. You ran me tight there. My form's been good lately, but are you enjoying Miami anyway?
How's the journey?
Well, he's driving to Miami, isn't he?
Oh, sure. Yeah, he's driving to.
We went to Boston on the 10th of June, and we left the day after the Morocco game. So we stopped off in New York for a night, DC for a night, a little town called Charleston for a night, and then we're currently 4.5 hours away from Miami. So,
what a
journey. How many are you? Sure, how many is it?
2 years.
2?
Yeah.
Ah, brilliant. So is the trip even you've dreamed of? Was it as good as you thought, or has it been a wee bit tiring?
The drive's a bit tiring now, but Boston was absolutely fantastic.
Incredible.
Ended up running into Ennis Cameron, the striker. Used to play.
I think there have been quite a few current players, ex-players that have been over there. Forgive me, I can't remember his name, but there was, I think, a Hamilton youth goalkeeper that was spotted. It was either on TV or there was a photo of him, and Hamilton had sort of cheekily quote tweeted it and said, well, he better be back for pre-season training on whatever date, which he was. He made it back in time, but he was spotted in the crowd somewhere. But there certainly are a lot of footballers, ex-footballers that are over there enjoying it. You know, you soaked it all in Boston, Stuart. We've seen some of the scenes in Miami so far. How excited are you just to get there and, you know, see how different the dynamic is, but also with the same people?
Yeah, just buzzing to get down there. That's right, to get the car back, and then that's it. Just there until, obviously, the game tomorrow, and then we're there for a couple of days, and moving on after the... Well, hopefully, if Scotland go through, then just moving on to where Scotland go.
So how does that work? Have you just got a place booked in Miami and just wait it out until hopefully Scotland know where we're going to play next?
Yeah, pretty much. So we've got a Airbnb booked until the 28th, and then my mate's going home, and then I'm about to get a hotel on Miami Beach for 2 days. It's only comes out to about £80 for the both of the nights, so I'll stay there until the draw's made, until the final games are done, so and just decide what's happening from there.
And are you coming home when Scotland come home? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, I've also been wanting to go to Texas for 4th of July, so I'm hoping it's Mexico City that they go to.
All right.
My God.
He travels well. Yeah, he's getting a few miles in, isn't he, Stuart?
And an unlimited bank account, Scotland, I think.
Yeah, sure.
No, but hey, he just said he's the hotel's only £80. So, I mean, for Miami, that sounds not too bad. But I just think that's a fabulous experience.
Oh, yeah.
Stuart, I'm with you. You will live once, mate. So if you get an opportunity to do these things and you're in a position to do it, go ahead and do it. So good luck to you.
Have you got a ticket for the game tomorrow, Stuart?
No, unfortunately, we were priced out of the Brazil and Morocco game, but we got to the Haiti game, so that's all that matters to me anyway. I'm happy with that.
That's it. Scottish fans travel in their numbers regardless. We see that, you know, for domestic European fixtures that fans will go over, whether they've got a ticket or not. The Tartan Army are doing it for the Scotland games because there'll be so many venues over there, fan zones, pubs that will just be packed out, full of people that just want to go over there and enjoy it. And you get the setting of Miami. It's all there.
It's the only thing I've really been discouraged with the World Cup is the price tickets. It's been an absolute disgrace. You know, people are going over there spending thousands upon thousands of pounds just to be there, involved in the atmosphere. At least give them an opportunity to try and buy a ticket. They're just getting priced right out.
But
the only
thing is, Gordon, you can say that, I mean, I agree with you in terms of the pricing, but the stadiums are nearly always full. I mean, every time they announce it, you know, 60, 70,000 people going. So they're probably going to argue, well, listen, that's you know, the demand is there and they can sell them at that. They're going to sell them. But the Bostonians, I think, sure, you know, absolutely loved the Tartan Army. So, was the atmosphere as good as we saw, and you know, in all the clips?
There was even probably a bit underappreciated, I think, because one night I decided to jump the river and I was going to that greatest bar, but I told the guy to just stop because I seen the strip with that Hennessy and stuff was. So I got out of the car because I heard all this noise and I was like, that's not where it's coming from. Turned to my left and there must have been about 200-300 Iraqis doing a march. So I just went in there and jumped in with them, grabbed the flag and just started waving it and like just saying whatever. So and I was there for about two hours or something like that, and everyone just absolutely loved it. I was there in my ginger, Scotland hat and Scotland glasses and my kilt and stuff like that, and they absolutely
loved
it.
I thought he was going to say it's ginger Scotland, mate.
But I think that's just amazing. And again, you know, mixing in with other fans and fans just taking to the Scottish fan, they know they just want to go and enjoy themselves and have fun. There's no that aggression among supporters, and I think that is one of the things that seems to have been a real joy in the World Cup. You know, that the fans, you see a lot of fans sitting next to other fans and stuff like that, and you know, everybody just seems to be there to enjoy themselves, which is, I think, has created the atmosphere. But I'm really jealous of Stuart. I think that's a brilliant trip he's on, and it's, as I said, it's something he'll remember for the rest of his life.
Do you know about the most special thing about it, right? He's driving all those miles, he's in that car, he's 4 and a bit hours to go, and he phones in the show to play Beat the Pundit. How good is that?
He's got another 4 hours thinking about how did I know that Celtic were playing in Fermin. That's what you said.
How did that dumpling deal beat me? That's what I love in his memory.
Brilliant. Thank you to Stuart. I'm sure we'll get an update from you over the next few days on how your tour is going of the US, potentially Mexico as well, depending if Scotland get through and we make it to there. Right, let's speak to Graham in Springburn. Graham, are you confident? Are you not ahead of tomorrow?
I'm quietly confident, not quietly, I phoned the radio right enough. Basically, I'm just talking about tactically. I thought the other day that he done well. I thought after 10 minutes you're thinking, oh, here we go, this is going to be a doing. And I thought the way he set up made sure that we stayed within the game so that later on we could have a goal. People look at that bit and go, oh, if they've done that for the start, they've done this, they've done that. I don't necessarily agree with that. Games always open up in the last half an hour. And I actually thought he was quite brave making his changes earlier than he normally does, rather than just waiting for the last 15 of them to go. Started making them 10, 15 minutes into the second half. And I think 1-0, because the way the groups go, is absolutely, obviously it's the best defeat you can get. And it keeps you right in there. But I don't know, I've got a wee sneaky feeling tomorrow against Brazil. I don't know why I'm Disney excited. It's sunny day, World Cup fever. This is a big one. And I just, rather than that quote for the William Wallace, I would just get the boys out with the face paint on it. That's all we need.
I think that Graham's saying, but you know, most of the country's saying the excitement is there for it. You know, the anticipation's there. Everyone kind of, you know, it's like the old Scottish song, "I Have a Dream," but everybody's dreaming that this could be the moment, this could be the game that you know we surprise everybody and we get that result that takes us into the knockout stages. And I'm the same as everybody else. I don't think we're too far away in terms of, you know, how we've approached the games. Yeah, we need to take, as I said, a wee bit more risk in the final third and test the opposition goalkeeper a bit more. Of course we do, but I still think that, you know, as Graham said, you know, we lost 1-0 to a team way above us in the rankings, and you know, we came into the game strong in the second half.
Graham, if we can get that result tomorrow night and it just guarantees it on the night that we get through to the knockout stages, you know, will that be the best thing you'd have witnessed as a Scotland fan?
Oh, by a mile. I mean, I was 17 at the last World Cup. I've now got a 22-year-old son at this World Cup, so it's night and day. But I just love it because it's the full country, because I'm a boy knows and most of my mates are Celtic fans, so it's good that we're all supporting the same team for a change when everybody gets together behind it. But my last point is, I think the only real change I would make is putting Dykes on. I just think he's more mobile if we're going with that one guy up top, and then leave Shanklin for later on if we need a goal. That's probably the way I would set up.
I think that's going to be the big question, who he plays up front.
You said you wouldn't have been surprised to see Dykes start the Morocco game. Do you feel the same about the Brazil game?
I said that you know, during the Morocco game, I thought it was a game that he was certainly going to introduce Dykes on. I thought it was a game Dykes was tailor made for, trying to get us up the pitch. Listen, he works very hard. He can hold the ball up for us, can get the flick ons. I just think the full thing. I don't think he'll obviously go with the Tierney situation playing in front of Robertson tomorrow night again. I don't think he'll go down that avenue. He might freshen one or two things up in the middle of the part, as Jim said there, and maybe looking at guys like Kenny McLean coming in for the start. I'll just be interesting, will he stay with his back four? Will he tweak it and maybe go five and bring in maybe McKenna as well in there? Dykes also gives you that little bit of advantage that set plays are so important in modern day football. And if you're against the cosh a little bit and you get a free kick or a corner kick, he's always that added threat in the opposition's box. So I think it's a big dilemma because he's got good players to choose from. He's got a good squad and he can change it up a little bit. You know, he's got wide players, he's got decent midfield players, all types of midfield players. He can go to a three if he wants. He can stick with his four. It'll be interesting to see. We heard Gabs talking about Hickey. I think Hickey's a big player for us. I think Hickey's a very, very good player indeed. So it'll be interesting to see what he does tomorrow night.
Thank you to Graham. 0141 951 1025. Keep your calls coming.
Live with the live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in Finnegan's Way, Miami. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Steve Clark is just about to address the media over in Miami. The final chance for him to speak ahead of Scotland against Brazil tomorrow. It is your final chance to speak to us ahead of that game tomorrow, because we are back from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. from Merchant City Square tomorrow. Gordon DL, you're looking forward to it?
Yeah, your jammies with you.
Yeah, I love it.
To be fair, that should be a skoosh compared to the 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. that we did there on the first match day.
I've got to say, I think the 1 a.m. to 5 I was dreading, but the atmosphere round about was electric, and that gets you going and you get involved in it. I'm looking forward to this tomorrow night. I really am excited about it. I'll be there early, taking in the atmosphere. And I'm just can't wait for a game to start.
Have you got a new, like a different Scotland top ready, or are you having to recycle because you've worn two different ones so far.
Yeah.
Have you got a third one up your sleeve
I've got the yellow one, right? With Cooper on the back, it's absolutely sensational. I might come out tomorrow night, but the problem I've got, Jim, there's some colours I don't suit, and yellow's one of those.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm more a dark blue guy.
Aye. So also we see that with your clothes tonight. You're suiting
like a Primark guy.
No, I'm saying nothing. You know, my forte.
I might go yellow tomorrow night. I don't know. I'm the dress. The dress sense is still to just get sorted out.
In the wardrobe, you've still got a few things to choose.
I've got three or four lined up.
All of tomorrow to plan your outfit. See if you're going to be an outfit.
I've got to keep one for the knockout stages.
That is true.
Yeah.
And then if we get beyond that, you're going to need to start buying some.
Exactly.
Borrowing.
Exactly.
I'm sure somebody will supply them.
You don't pay for anything.
Celebrity told you. Get some. You'll get it. Somebody will be saying, right, Daz, you can wear that promotion.
Well, I hope so. And if MD's listening out there, I'm a size
available.
L.
Well, you don't pay for anything, but you've just told me you're going to get a new phone because you need a new phone. And this is based off of the fact that when we were at the Brayhead Arena for the game the other night, the Morocco game, you tried to take a selfie on your phone of me, you, and Alex Ray. And first of all, I've never seen anyone have so much trouble trying to take a selfie
that you couldn't
work out what angle to move your hand to try and fit us all in to the camera. Eventually gave up, handed me your phone. I took the photo and realised that your phone is so old that it was just the worst photo of all time. So you're now...
Yeah, so the big decision...
Is this so you can take better selfies? That's why
it's not that. It's just a big decision's been made that I think it's time to move into the modern day age and get a decent phone.
I think it's quite worrying when Hugh Keevans has got a better phone.
I know. Me and Chug have got the worst phones in the world.
And you're now wanting to learn how to type on your phone as well.
I was impressed with
after
that.
I can't believe you're so impressed by that, genuinely, because I feel like that's just something, and it's obviously it's a generational thing because my generation were brought up on how to type. But the fact that I was texting during the break, and what I was doing, I wasn't looking at my phone. I was looking up while I was texting, sent the text, and you couldn't believe that I was able to do that and press send and you know, there was no issues there.
Yeah, and we had to get wee producer Jay to come in, and he produced.
See if he could do it as well. Yeah,
I just
you do that, type with one finger.
Yes, I do.
Which
yes,
is
I do, and it
an
takes,
issue.
Takes me a bit of time, but well, for
what,
someone
is the right message.
Yeah, for someone not to even look at their phone and be able to type out a message perfectly is up there. It ranks up there with me.
You're easily impressed.
I'm impressed with that.
See, when you get your new phone, are you still going to get one of those like leather dad cases that you open from the front, or are you going to try and detector. Move into the modern era with that as well?
And what's the modern era? Just,
well, you, nobody has the sort of flip cases anymore, the flip leather cases.
Not?
No.
You do?
No.
Set your own principles, your own standard, just set them.
The only thing I don't like about the new phones, they're quite big and they fall out of your pocket and all that carry on. That's what I don't like about them.
It could be dangerous if you leave it.
Yeah, but that's the way forward. If any phone shops, I'm available in any network, unlimited everything.
Unlimited data.
I'm with Apple.
Right, enough of that nonsense. Let's speak to Michael and Rob Royston. Michael, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just back to Boston yesterday.
Good stuff.
What time, honestly. I couldn't even say the word to see how good it was. It was absolutely fantastic, honestly.
What was the best bit?
You felt like a celebrity. I must have got stopped and asked to take photos about 150 times at least by all the Bostonians. And not just the Bostonians, people who are Brazilians. Every nationality stopping the Scots and asking for a picture to him because of the kilts on. It was such an amazing time. And I see that the bars closed last night in Boston at 10 o'clock because the English are misbehaving, which is a shame. But because they were open to 3 o'clock with us and we were allowed to drink in the streets. They're not allowed to drink in the streets now, were they? But I've got a couple of points. One point was for my ticket for the Scotland game was $900. The guy sat two seats away from me with a Moroccan, and the guys in my hotel, some of them were Moroccan. And they told me that they've only paid $50 for their ticket because they were subsidised by their FA. Mm. I thought that their ticket was overpriced, theirs was probably underpriced, but it's a bit unfair in the Scotland fans that they pay that amount when the Moroccan fans are paying that two seats away from you.
Yeah, I think that's more of a FIFA issue than to do with the individual federations, because it shouldn't get to the point where federations are having to subsidise tickets because the ticket prices are so big, especially when people like Michael and thousands of other Scotland fans are paying all that money to get over there. And then, you know, there's the dynamic pricing, which Gabriel was on the show last night. He was speaking to a Scotland fan that was over there who lives in Vegas. Turns out he was the vice president of business operations at the UFC. And he was saying that, you know, the dynamic pricing all came into play because the UFC started it. So basically, somehow we managed to locate the guy that was responsible for the dynamic pricing. It's just, I think everyone agrees on it, that it is such a shame that everyone is paying so much money to get out there anyway. And all of a sudden, people are having to fork out, you know, Michael's saying $900. There's people that are having to pay more than that to get tickets to the game.
We've said this several times, you know, we think that they were way overpriced. I think the vast majority of people know that it was so expensive. And, you know, again, some of the hotels were, you know, put their prices up, and, you know, the transport getting to the stadium, you know, I saw some of the officials from Boston saying, oh, we had to do it because you had to put on more staff and, you know, extra trains and all sorts of things. And there's always reasons. People always give the reasons, as Michael said there, that the association, the Moroccan association, helped out, you know, maybe had a subsidy, or if you bought a ticket, whatever, how they worked it. I know that there's some people were suggesting that the Scottish FA could have done it, or certainly, you know, helped some of the Scotland fans. But there's also the issues where people then, if they get that cheap, then they resell them and then they make profit on them. So it's not as straightforward. But the one thing we do agree is it's overpriced. But Michael said there, it was an extraordinary experience with the Tartan Army being over there. Everyone in Boston seemed to love them. As I said, he became a celebrity, all the photographs taken, and I'm sure he wasn't alone in that. There was, you know, they made them a fantastic impression for Scottish people there, and I think that was brilliant. And yes, it is expensive, but as we said, it's once every 30 years, so you've got 30 years to save up for the next one, Michael.
We guys on here, I'm sure it was last week, for a Morocco game, and they were talking about paying $1,800 for mm-hmm. the. You see the way I like to put the American bucks. Mm-hmm. $1,800 is incredible. The price of tickets. It's so one thing I think is probably it's not ruined it for a Scottish fan because they would pay as much as they possibly could afford to pay just to get in there and support their country. But I do think it is a bit much if you're going over there and you're spending that sort of money. You're bringing that sort of a revenue to America, then to have to also fork out huge amounts of money just to get into the stadiums, I think it's a really bit unfair on the fans. I don't like it at all.
Do you think we can get through, Michael?
I think we can get through. That was my second point. I think we can get through. I think I would play Ralston and I would play Ben Doak from the start.
You would play Ralston?
I would
instead of Hickey, if he was fit.
Instead of Parson.
But what if Hickey was fit?
If Hickey was fit, I'd play Hickey, but I don't know if he's going to be fit. But if he's not fit, I would play Ralston instead of Parson.
Yeah, we'll get an update from Steve Clark on whether Aaron Hickey is going to be fit. I don't think he may be trained individually today, as Gabriel was saying, but do you not agree with that? Do you think if it was up in the air between Patterson and Ralston, who are you going for?
I think Patterson's the better player, if I'm totally honest with you, but he's hardly played any football, hasn't he? But I think that if it was me, I would be playing Patterson all day long. What were your thoughts, Jim?
I think it's a difficult one in that situation because no one is a regular player. I mean, mm-hmm. Aaron Hickey's had injuries all year. Patterson's hardly played, and Anthony Ralston's hardly played. So we've got three players all playing right backs. And if you actually totaled up all of their games for their teams, it'd be very, very few. So I think no matter who it is, it's not going to be ideal. But again, I get back to the fact is I think we have to be a bit more expansive in midfield and a little bit more control in midfield. That's the reason why I quite like Kenny McLean. People have their opinions on him, but I just think he sits in the middle of the pitch. He doesn't try to complicate things. He's physically strong. He keeps the ball moving. And I think he brings other players into play. I think he sacrifices himself at times because he knows he's to do a job. He's to do a job for the team, and I think he does that. So that's the one that I would have in the team. I'll let everyone else debate the other positions.
Yeah, I'm not having a go at Ralston. The one thing I like about Ralston is we were talking about Scotland players going out there tomorrow and giving every single thing they've got in the tank, every bit of energy in the tank. And one thing Ralston would certainly give you is that. I don't think he possesses the greatest quality, but he will give you everything going up and down there. You won't fault him for effort, that's for sure. But I just think a bit of quality, I think that Patterson's a better player.
Was it Ben Gannon Doak you said you want to see as well from the start, Michael?
I wouldn't play Christie. I wouldn't play Christie, no. Don't get me wrong, the second half performance was tremendous. It was absolutely, I thought we were so unlucky. Unlucky not to get a penalty and unlucky that the boy that Paul Adams didn't get sent off. Mm-hmm. But the whole experience was just unbelievable, and the staff, the police over there, they were even stopping us to ask for pictures. So they were the cops. I mean, that's how even walking up to the game, the three cops stopped me, mate, to ask for pictures.
You don't want the police stopping you over here, Michael? It's a whole different conversation.
Different conversation. Yeah. I think by the way, if any cops were over there, they would have learned a few lessons as well, because the police were absolutely tremendous for the Scotland fans. Another thing I would say, I would definitely bring Shanklin on. If we're still 0-0 with 10-15 minutes to go, I would definitely bring Shanklin.
So what shape would you play, Michael? Would you go a four at the back?
I would go a four at the back, aye. Right. Yeah.
Who's your striker, just quickly?
I would go with Shea Adams.
Were you surprised, Jim, at the fact that when Scotland were chasing a goal against Morocco and it was Shea Adams that it started, that it was Lyndon Dykes that came on and it was Ross Stewart that came on and Lorna Shanklin didn't come on the pitch?
No, because again, I get back to it. I think he's probably worked on options, and he's probably said, look, we're going to go a bit more direct, which you could see they were knocking 60 yard ball, diagonal balls for either Dykes or Ross Stewart to try and flick on. And you might have just thought those type of players are going to be the type of go if we're going to throw everything at it in the last 10 minutes, just a more direct style of play, two big guys up front, and just get it in the mixer, sort of thing. So he's probably discussed that, spoke about it, maybe worked on it at training, on the training pitch. And whereas I think, as I've already mentioned, I think Shank was I think you have to get balls down the side, cutbacks in the box, across the face of the goal. He's that instinctive kind of penalty box striker, and he maybe thought at that time they were sitting deep, there's not a lot of space, so we'll try and miss the midfield out and go a bit more direct, and that's the reason why he went for the two big guys.
Thank you to Michael. Final chance to get your calls in. We'll maybe take a look at some of the domestic matters doing the rounds. Rangers have just appointed a new performance director, so we'll let you know about that after the break.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in Finnegan's Way, Miami. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Last chance to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, looking ahead to Scotland against Brazil at the World Cup in Miami, with a chance to make history and get through to the knockout stages of a major tournament for the first time.
How good
time
does that
ever.
Just sound?
Oh, it's incredible.
Scotland in the World Cup playing Brazil in Miami.
Just amazing.
We're sitting in
Clydebank. It just sounds brilliant.
It does indeed. So any final thoughts on that, give us a call, 0141 951 1025. There were a few domestic stories that I wanted to touch on before the end of the show. One of them broke just a few minutes ago. Rangers tweeting out that they are confirming the appointment of Stig Inge Bjørneby as their new performance director. Now, he joined the club on a temporary basis as a consultant back in December and now transitions into a permanent role. So Rangers just getting their sort of footballing structure sorted out, a new manager in there in Dennett McInnes. I think Dan Purdy is continuing as the technical director. He was one of the only survivors of the staff
regime
that came in last season. And that's Rangers sort of getting their ducks in a row ahead of the new season.
I mean, a club at Rangers has to get all those departments running smoothly and efficiently. There was a lot of controversy about the previous regime and the recruitment process and the quality of players, although I think that changed a little bit because, you know, a few of them seem to, you know, improve. Obviously, Chermiti was probably the biggest one. And talk about, you know, offers in the region of $20 million plus for them. So most Rangers fans, I thought, well, okay, give him a bit more time. And once he had a bit more time, I'm not saying he was absolutely amazing, but certainly improved significantly, I think, to change some opinions. But the football structure, all the various departments, now, that's just the way of a modern football club. And I think Rangers have just, you know, they're now in line with that. But the fans, ultimately, the fans won't care too much about the structure or the infrastructure of the club. They want to see results on the pitch. They want to see a proper concerted challenge for a title this year under Dennett McInnes.
It's the type of role that you probably don't hear much of the person's name if things are going okay, and then all of a sudden they're one of the first people to get the finger pointed at them if, you know, performances aren't great and Rangers aren't having a good start to the season.
Yeah, we've seen it with the big clubs, of course we have, when the transfer windows haven't been good, the performances on the pitch haven't been good, then they start looking a bit deeper into who's actually running the club. But as Jim quite rightly says, fans only are interested in what they're seeing, the product on the pitch. If the product's on the pitch is good, they don't care what's happening behind the scenes. They just want to win, and Jim's quite rightly saying there that it's a big season for Rangers. They need to start. They finished third last year. They need to be up there challenging for silverware. Once again, another year without silverware. And you look over the City, even Celtic, who went on to win the double, they've still to get the structure in place as well. So a lot of hard work to be done.
Johnny is in Oban. Johnny, what do you want to see Steve Clark do tomorrow?
So I'm a wee bit old school now, look. And I agree with some of the things the boys were saying on the show there. I had one idea for the back four and a couple for the midfield. So I was thinking, trying to fit Tierney and Robertson in is always a little awkward. I'm thinking this game against Vinicius Junior, Tierney might be a good idea out in the right back, because he always likes to cut inside and he scores his trademark goal. Kind of do a kind of man marking job on him, because he's not their only danger man, but probably their main danger man. And let him sit in a little. And in the midfield, like Jim was saying, I'd probably go Kenny McLean, Lewis Ferguson, and I would do something a little random. Put McTominay on the left, McGinn on the right, just to toughen it right up. You could hit long diagonals to McTominay, and then your front two is whatever way you want to go with the front two. But I would go old school with Shankland and Dykes and rough it up a little and go a little more direct and keep it compact.
4-4-2,
Jack. I quite like the Tierney one. If Tierney's fit, he obviously had to come off, and I know he's tended to do that a lot of time, but he normally would last a bit longer, but he just kind of sat down on it. So if it's a muscle injury, it's unlikely to be fit. I mean, Gabriel maybe get some information when he hears Steve Clark talking. But I think that side that he has played, I mean, obviously he went to right back scoring that wonder goal in the game against Denmark, coming in his left foot. And again, yeah, Vinicius Junior does like to come inside. So yeah, that's a possibility. I think that's quite a good shout. I've already gave my opinion on Kenny McLean. I think yes, he just gives us a little good strong foundation, good base. He does the job, you know, all the time. Maybe leaving it to Ryan Christie. I wouldn't maybe go with McTominay wide. McGinn, I don't have a problem with. He does play in the right a lot of times and comes inside, allows space for fullbacks to go. Or if he does play with Doak outside him, then McGinn might play more central. So I think we do have to, you know, with one of the calls earlier on saying that, you know, they've got Casemiro, Guimaraes and Paqueta. It's not the most mobile, but they're all very, very talented. I don't think we can play a two against that three. So I think we have to match up in there.
Would you be surprised with two strikers tomorrow night?
Yeah. The reason I'm surprised, listen, I've seen Steve Clark doing it before, away from home, and he played two up top. What was the game, Jim? I can't... He just surprised everybody, and we got an L. I think it was an 0-0 or something.
Was that away at Denmark?
Yeah. And nobody expected him go to up. I don't think he will against Brazil. I really don't. No. It'll be interesting. Will he stick to the four? He probably will. It's a good shout with Tierney. I like it. If Hickey's fit, I think Hickey's a stick on. To play.
Hickey struggled against Haiti.
He did struggle.
But was I think he Ryan Christie struggled. I like Chris, but I think he struggled a bit. There's been a couple of players that have just not looked quite themselves. McTominay, I mean, people talk about McTominay, who's been up for Ballon d'Or last year. I mean, he had a phenomenal season and an incredible Scotland. I wouldn't be dropping him, don't get me wrong. But for the levels he's reached, he's not quite. I think we all thought he's going to be the main man. He's going to be a superstar.
Would you play McTominay just in behind the lone striker and just let him go? And if we can get service from
a wee
the
bit higher, days,
yeah, I agree. Definitely. I agree with that. I think that's
why I like Kenny McLean, and I'd like Kenny McLean and Lewis Ferguson. We John McGinn in the right. Those two sitting, allowing, you know, McGinn and then McTominay off whatever. Mm-hmm. It could be Dykes, could be Shank, whatever. But you know, McTominay up there a bit higher, and then you could maybe have Gannon Doak on the left hand side. So you're almost like a narrow three. Mm-hmm. Gannon Doak having a wee bit more freedom. And McTominay dropping into midfield when we don't have it to give us that strength in there. So that's the kind of team I would play.
Thank you to Johnny. Something else I wanted to mention before we finish up is reports that Lyon could be interested in Claudio Braga and that Hearts want somewhere in the region between 8 and 10 million pounds for him, which could potentially make him Hearts' biggest sale. I think the biggest sale is Craig Gordon at £9 million. It's the biggest sale that any club has made outside of Celtic and Rangers in Scotland. Do you think that's possible? Do you think they could get that fee for him? And how big a win for sort of Jamestown Analytics would that be, bringing in a guy from the second tier in Norway and a year later selling him for somewhere between 8 and
from
10 million
from a business perspective? It's a fantastic business transaction, but from the Hearts fans, you lose your captain, your top goal scorer, you know, Lauren Shankland. You lose your manager, Derek McInnes, and then you lose the fans, our player of the year. You know, the ones that the fans love. You know, the entertainer, the creative spark of the team. You lose so many goals at your team, plus your leader in terms of the manager. So, but I do think, I think they could get somewhere. You know, certainly eight million on. And why wouldn't you? I think we've undersold with players many times. And Claudio Braga has certainly got the ability and quality, and there's a lot of talk about would Celtic be interested in him. I don't think Celtic would pay £8 million for him, and I think that'd be part of the problem. But if Lyon or something like that think that he's somebody they're looking at, then why wouldn't you try and maximise the value? So from Jamestown Analytics, from business, great. But it's hard then for whoever the new manager comes in, because he's going to have to try and gel almost, I'm not saying a completely new team. Cammy Devlin still debatable whether he's going to sign or not. You've lost Shankland, you lose Braga. You've got Craig Halkett's got a serious injury. A lot of work to be done for Hearts next year to be challenging again.
Just very quickly, I suppose it is the type of thing that if Tony Bloom and Jamestown Analytics get involved in your club, that you just maybe need to accept that it is going to happen. Your best players are going to get sold for big profit at times, but you just need to put the trust in the system that they'll be able to go out and
they're getting out second fast, aren't they? That wonderful team last year. There's probably rumours going about that a club will come in and sign the wee guy that sings the song before the games. He'll leave as well, but listen, that's what they're here for, and I totally agree with Jim. If you're looking at Braga and you're thinking of figures of 8 to 10 million, what a bit of business that would be. You've got to accept that. Whether I get it or not is another thing, but it's just the way Hearts are going to go about their business now.
Well, that is it. Our final Clyde One Super Scoreboard before Scotland take on Brazil in the World Cup in Miami with a chance to create history. I will be back from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. tomorrow with Gordon DL and Scott Allen live from Merchant City in Glasgow. We'll be bringing you all the build-up, all the coverage, all the reaction to hopefully a historic night for Scotland. But stick around next, because it's Callum Gallagher up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.